This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The questioner wants to know, how can we implement interest-free transaction model to run the business? Well, first and foremost, and the questioner is asking from India, as I understand that in India we have very limited options and alternatives, we need to go back to the basic model which was used by the likes of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu and the great companions who did very well in their profession, in the business. And that is, you start from the basic and you grow gradually. Instead of trying to, you see, the system that we have today is where business houses want to acquire more resources using loan and then completing them into a finished product and selling it in the market. But rather, the most simple way of avoiding interest is you use whatever means you have and buy those resources which you can afford, use it for finished products, sell it in the market, make some profits, put the profit back into the business, buy more and sell more, and then you make more money, and then you buy even more and you sell even more. This is how you need to grow. The problem with us is when we start doing business, our goals and objectives in our business is to become rich. It is to become the biggest business house. It is to afford all the best materialistic things which are in and around us. Our goal and objective is not to achieve all of this without compromising on Sharia principles. We don't talk along those lines. We say very simply, how am I supposed to do business then? So we have already reduced the Sharia into nothing. Subhanallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for this. So we need to therefore remind ourselves that the business can be conducted, it can be done very well within the guidelines, provided we are able to grow gradually and pray to Allah to give barakah and more barakah and even more barakah. And that's how you grow your business. And Allah knows best. Is there really something called a riba-free mortgage, or is this just a terminology different but still riba? Look, I cannot make a general opinion over here. Again, it has to be looked into from banks to banks, okay? I know that there are certain genuine institutions which are strictly trying to adhere to the Sharia guidelines and come up with riba-free alternatives. So there are genuine institutions which are working on it. At the same time, there are certain institutions which is allowing backdoor riba. Some of them intentionally, some of them because they realize there's no other way out. So it's very difficult for us to make a general opinion, all right? I can only say, tell you this, that if you know of any bank with whom you wish to deal with, send the details, etc. And if you wish, I can suggest to you what should be done.
What about people who work in such places? I think the questioner wants to refer to people who are working in riba-based institutions. How should we deal with them? If they are relatives, should you accept the dinner invitation, and can you accept the gifts, etc.? I don't see why you should not be accepting the gifts from them. My personal opinion on this is, if you close the doors to them, this is only going to make them more rebellious in nature. No one likes to see people being rebellious and arrogant and refusing the invitation. If you consider that what they are doing is wrong, you must apply or you must approach and do da'wah to them using hikmah. You can't apply the same strokes for all the folks. For different people, there has to be different approach. In some cases, if you recall the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he used to deal with people, he used to use different approaches. When it was the man who was wearing a gold ring, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam took the ring out and he threw it. That was a very active way of telling the person, an aggressive way of telling the person that this is not acceptable. And yet again, when the Bedouin enters the masjid and he urinates and defecates on the wall and defecates inside the masjid, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tells the Sahaba not to go and stop him. Let him finish off what he's doing. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam explained to him about the sanctity of the place. That was the da'wah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to the Bedouin. And then when he meets Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he writes a letter because Khalid is not there. This is post the Hudaybiyah treaty. Khalid is not there in Makkah. He left Makkah saying that if Muhammad comes to Makkah and if I am in Makkah, then Muhammad will not go back alive. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he wrote a letter and he left it with his brother Walid. Walid ibn Walid. And what did the letter say? The letter said that a man as intelligent as Khalid, will he still not understand that there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah and I am the messenger of Allah? Look at the da'wah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with the sahabi whom he knew how to deal with. He was extremely aggressive and very clear. Then to the Bedouin, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam sits down and explains to him. With a man like Khalid, who's an intelligent man, the Prophet ﷺ calls out to his intelligence and he says, a man as intelligent as Khalid. He's touching upon the most sensitive part of Khalid, his intelligence. Look, you have to apply a different approach. If you know people are dealing in riba, and if you come out and tell them, listen, what you're earning is haram, drinking water in your place is haram, accepting your invitation is haram, what are the people going to do? How will the people react? The people are going to take it in an offensive manner. So, what you need to therefore do is, you need to approach this whole issue with hikmah. You can't refuse the invitation outrightly. You can't refuse their gifts, etc. Accept their gifts. Reach out to them in these invitations and call them over to your place as well. And have some discussion. Have healthy discussion on the subject. Don't lose hope and make dua to Allah, and Allah knows best. There's a question, if I can buy a car or a house or anything else through the lease. Look, you can buy a car or a house or anything else provided whichever product that is being used to finance your need, it complies to the Sharia guidelines. Okay? You have the Murabaha model of financing. You have the Ijara model of financing. So whichever model of financing is being used, the terms and conditions and the functioning of the product must comply to the Sharia guidelines, both in letter and spirit, and Allah knows best. Okay, there's another question. Is a markup charged in any installment plan halal without riba? They say it is inflation charges and not riba. Look, in any property plan, if the institution charges anything over the principal as a markup because they are the owners of the property and they are within their rights to sell the property at whatever price they want, whether they want to sell it at 1 million or they want to sell it at 1 million plus 10% or 20%, they are the owners of the property. They can't make it binding upon the buyer to buy it at that rate. It's open for negotiation. Provided the institution has got ownership of the property. Okay? If they don't own the property and they say that our loan is without riba, we are giving you 100% of what you want, but we are only charging you for the inflation cost, this is nothing but riba. If the institution does not own the item or the product or the property or the car and they are selling it back, they can't sell it back to you. What they're doing is they're financing your monetary requirement. And they say that, listen, we're not going to charge you any interest. We are only recovering the cost of inflation. What is this? Inflation is a price, persistent increase in the levels of the price over a period of time. So it is an increase in price levels due to time, and you are charging the people on the basis of that time, which means what? It's riba an-nasiya. Okay, so the time value of the money has to be understood in the right perspective. Okay, time value of money does have an Islamic perspective to it. But over here, as per the questioner, what I can understand is if the markup is based on an installment plan, and well, there's lack of clarity in the question, but the questioner says it is without riba, which means there's no interest. So it seems like a gratuitous loan. But in a gratuitous loan, they are charging an additional amount as inflation cost. This is not allowed. If it is in case of property plans, if the ownership is not there, they cannot charge any additional amount. If you 2, it falls under riba. So it's again a very technical thing. I'm making it clear once again. It comes down eventually to ownership. Let us first establish whether the institution has the right to sell you the property. Do they own the property? If they own it and they sell it to you at a price higher than the price at which they bought, they are within their rights to do it. But if they don't own the property, they only finance your monetary requirement, and in addition for that, they just charge an additional inflation cost, not riba. It's also riba. Okay, you can call it by any other name you want. There's a questioner who wants to know about investing into mutual funds of Islamic banking, which is Sharia compliant, and they want to get monthly income, and the person is a widow. Look, if you are a widow, I understand there is no source of income, and this is a very important set of money that you have. Having said that, if you put this money into mutual funds are subject to market risks. They fluctuate. Even if it is an Islamic banking or Sharia compliant, it is bound to fluctuate. And therefore, you will not be certain that every month it will give you a certain percentage of return. Further, mutual funds on an average can give you 12 to 15% return in a very good market, in a decent market. On an average, 10%. That's pretty good for a mutual fund. But that 10% return is only possible if you stay invested for 2 to 3 years. Further, if you are going to look at regular income, it means that you will be looking at withdrawing the money on an ongoing basis. If that is going to be the case, you have to understand that in the short run, the mutual fund market may fluctuate. In the long run, everything looks evened out. I start investing today, 3 years from now, the prices have changed. But within these 3 years, if I start analyzing the performance, I will keep seeing the ups and downs which has led to the share price reach its position today. So in the short run, you will see ups and downs. And therefore, it is never safe to invest in mutual funds hoping to get a monthly income. Mutual funds are always good for long-term savings. That's what I believe in. For regular income, I would recommend to you, you do some kind of business if you can. If you are a person who has age on your hand and you feel that you can utilize that money to start some small venture, use that money, buy something, sell it back to someone else at a higher price. Maybe you have certain skills. Maybe you're good with stitching. Maybe you're good with training people. You're good with workshops. It could be anything. Identify what your skills are and utilize your skills. Sell your skills to earn money. Use some of that money to invest into your business as a capital. Okay, that is what you should be doing and putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right. Now, you've also said that many finance and banking people say that that particular fund is not Islamic, etc. See, it's very difficult for me to say about anything about it. You will have to send me details and I'll have to study that. All right. Unless I study, I won't be able to comment. But broadly, please don't invest in mutual funds for monthly income. It's not the most intelligent thing to do. Question that is Islamic financing the right thing to do? They say that there is profit sharing whenever there is a finance. What's the difference? I am not sure if I've understood your question here. You need to explain to me. When there is a finance, there can't be sharing of profit. So the company will take the ownership of the property and will sell it back to you with a profit. There's no question of profit sharing. All right. The one party gets the profit. There's no sharing of profit. The sharing of profit comes in case of investments. But you're talking about financing. So there isn't a clarity with regards to your question. So whoever has asked this question, if you receive this audio note and if you're hearing this note, please, you can send me another personal message and I'll clarify it, inshallah. There's a question regarding Guidance Residential. This is a company that provides Islamic housing. Houses are bought on loans, but a fixed rate like profit is charged. Is this a form of riba? Again, there was a question which came yesterday about Mizan Bank as well. And I clarified, and I'm going to make the same clarification here. If the company which is providing the housing finances your monetary requirement, and against that monetary requirement, they charge an additional money, which could be profit or interest or any name they give it, it is riba. However, if they own the property, which means they buy it from the promoter, they buy it from the seller, and then they resell the property to you, this is permissible. And in this case, if they charge an additional profit, this is allowed because the property ownership has shifted from the seller to Guidance Residential. And as an owner of the property, Guidance Residential is free to sell the property to you at whatever margin they want to sell it at. It's up to you now whether you want to buy or you don't want to buy. Okay? So this is a very important aspect which I'm talking of, which is ownership. It's a very important aspect. I'm not saying this is the only aspect. There has to be other terms as well. But I'm telling you one of the most basic aspects.
So there's a person who wants to know, if I have a mortgage property, perhaps taken on a conventional loan, and after several years, I sell the property and I make profit on it, is the profit on this property haram? No, the profit on the property is not haram because that is, the property belongs to you. You are the owner of the property, and as an owner of the property, you have sold it at a profit, so the profit belongs to you. However, if you had mortgage, if you had taken conventional loan, the transaction of paying interest was not halal, it was haram. You must repent to Allah, you must seek forgiveness from Allah, and make sure that in the future you don't find yourself entangled in such kind of riba. Having said that, to the listeners who are listening to this, please don't think that you are going to buy a property on loan and then maybe 1 year down the line do an immediate tawbah and continue paying the EMIs and hope that Allah is going to rectify and forgive. It's all about intentions. Remember, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, the actions are based upon intention. Please be very sure in your intention that you will not deal in interest any further. All of those who are listening to this, if you are not in any interest-based loan, please make a firm intention of not taking up any property on interest. And Allah knows best. As far as the profit is concerned, once you have the property, you sell it, you make money, that's your money, that's your profit. And Allah knows best.